Catholic Spirit Radio presents the JMJ Moment with Monsignor Richard Sossaman, Vice Postulator of the Cause of Canonization of Fulton Sheen, and also serving three parishes in Peru, Illinois. May Jesus, Mary, and Joseph be in your heart as we meditate on God's words. And now, here's Monsignor Sossaman.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. These are the words of the old hymn. Jesus does love us, and he wants us to love him, and to be personally closer to him. Our Lord speaks to us through the prophecy of Isaiah this Sunday, telling us how much Jesus loves us. Quote, I have called you by your name. It is I who arm you, though you know me not, so that toward the rising and the setting of the sun, people may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, there is no other. Unquote. Sometimes we forget this. Some of us have never learned this. Jesus loves us, each, personally. We need to remember this, to live our lives close to Jesus' church, and to make sure others know it too. There are so many practicing Catholics around, we forget that there are many who do not practice. Surveys of membership of Americans in different denominations have steadily shown that the largest denomination is Catholic. The second largest group is made up of non-practicing Catholics, and then Baptist and Methodist, etc. But in some ways, we did it to ourselves. For our means of teaching in the 1970s became very experiential, based on finding God in happy things. We forgot that faith is fed by reason, too. So we all need some good old-fashioned catechism and Bible study, don't we? Years ago, I was at a regional Hispanic ministry meeting. We were talking about the appalling level of religious education among the Spanish-speaking at the time, and among Catholic youth in general. I raised the point that the fundamentalist sects in Moline were making inroads into the Hispanic community by putting up statues of the Lady of Guadalupe and by hearing confessions, quote unquote. A nun was present at the meeting. She had been part of the personalization of religious education in the 1970s. As I said, we might say they taught no need for doctrine, just make the kids feel good about God. She told us not to worry. She said, they'll be back when they need first Holy Communion or confirmation. They'll be back when they want a church wedding or a funeral. Such occasions, she asserted, were teachable moments, chances to reach out and bring people back to the practice of their faith. I knew from my experience as a young priest already in the early 1990s that this was not happening. Certainly, sacraments can be teachable moments, but the faith has to be lived, and grace builds upon nature. Many of those people have never come back and have not taught their children or grandchildren about a lived faith. Barring the work of the Holy Spirit, they're not coming back, because it is much more comfortable to live life as they do, as they can. Some of them are enjoying life, not attending church, but watching the grandkids play baseball on Sunday morning, breaking the commandments left and right, not in a serious way, perhaps, but just getting through life in a slovenly way. Others have become hardened to God and His church, and still others are suffering through terribly difficult lives, without the comforts of the faith. They forget that each church is a hospital for sinners, a place where all of us, no matter our backgrounds or jobs or how we're dressed, no matter how nice our clothes, we may experience Jesus. Additionally, many have had children and now grandchildren who, if you'd ask them, they would say they are Catholic, or some might say they're Christian. But they say they're Catholic because they are also Italian or Polish or Mexican, but they have no idea what that means. I see them around the community, good-hearted people with good motivations, who have forgotten or never been told that God loves them, personally, each, that He wants them to be part of His living body, the Church. When I meet them, I sometimes ask, would you like a blessing? And many times they respond with a deer in the headlights look. They clearly don't know what to do. So in many ways we did it to ourselves, but fortunately we are not alone in fixing the problem. The Holy Spirit can do anything and inspire anyone with grace. God needs us, though, for He works through members of the Church to bring His graces into the world. Some of those ways can be subtle. You should pray for the return of your family and friends. Make them little gifts of books about saints or simple catechisms or children's rosaries or small statues or pictures. Make sure to have them blessed first, or crosses. When you're at a family gathering, gently insist on leading grace or other prayers. The first few times are the hardest, but then many people come to enjoy that in having prayer as part of their life. When someone comes to you with a crisis, give them good advice, but then suggest that you pray together a simple prayer. Even a Hail Mary or a Glory Be will do, but just make that advice giving also an occasion of prayer. There are small ways in which we can perhaps be part of the solution in bringing the joy of the Christian life and the support in crisis that only faith may give. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Join us again next Saturday evening at 9 or Sunday afternoon at 2 for the JMJ Moment with Monsignor Richard Soseman, or replay his podcast on the CatholicSpiritRadio.com website. Inspired, we hope you faithfully attend one of our local Catholic churches where you are always welcome. May Jesus, Mary, and Joseph be in your heart this day and every day.